what we do with our young people and for them is vital and it's important. I don't think we waste our time, effort, money just in running activities and camps and so forth. There's purpose for it. There is a plan, and we're going to talk about that tonight. I want you to look in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Then we're going to turn to another passage, but right now look in verse 12, if you would, please. It says, of course, now this is Paul talking to young Timothy, a young preacher boy, a young man who's focused on becoming what the Apostle Paul is and has a heart to serve the Lord, and that's what we would want for every young person. And Paul says to him through the Holy Spirit, he says, and he writes, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Now you've heard Brother Wilkerson teach on this quite often and so forth, and I'm not going to belabor it necessarily, but I want you to turn over to 2 Timothy, if you would, please. 2 Timothy, and I want you to look in verse 19. Verse 19. And it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor." Not every Christian is going to be a proud Christian, or not every saint is going to be a hallowed saint, and not every young person is going to turn out to be excellent for the Lord. But the goal is to see what we can do there and to help them to go as far as they can for the Lord. Look at verse 21. It says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Father, we ask your blessing upon the message tonight. Help us to be mindful of our families, of our young people, and of their future. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to beat up anybody in how you rear your children, but I am going to try to challenge all of us tonight, whether we have children in our home now or grandchildren that we're bringing up as well. But we have a future in this church, and it's quite often that there are churches around here that, especially in our area, that have very few young people and nobody in the nursery and no juniors or no high school ensembles or anything like that. And their church are just basically a bunch of senior citizens getting near the grave. And that's what, that way, as we travel around the country, and there's quite a few churches like that, then every once in a while you pop into a church with a tour group, and man, there are kids running everywhere. There's life, there's vibrance there, and happiness and joy. And I get excited about that, because that's my goal. That's my future. That's what I want. I want to work with young people and help them find their calling of God, and also how they can best be used for the Lord. Of course, this was the instruction that Paul was giving young Timothy. And it was just a mature man helping a young kid find his way to serve the Lord and to do it well. My vantage point is one of a kind of unique, if I may. I know I'm not a youth expert. I guess I've never met one. But the truth is, I have been part of the youth ministry here since I was in seventh grade, and that was just a few years ago, and we won't tell how many, but quite a few, actually. But the truth is, during that time, that growing up time, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. I've said that many times here. And God got a hold of my life, and I went to Bible college, and while my first year in Bible college, I got to work with our junior hires as a youth director, and was in that position and worked with our high schoolers and then all of the junior high and high schoolers for a total of 27 years. It was a great joy of my life to do so. And many of those young people that I got to work with over the years, some of you are sitting here as adults, some of you have children, some of you have grandchildren. Many of them, of those who I worked with, have children in our high school, and they're out at Baptist City tonight with them. You teach in Sunday school classes here. You run bus routes. And that's what we were hoping would happen. You have now spent your life serving the Lord in a church. You're a deacon. You're a chairman of a deacon board. Or you're an officer. Or you're working in our schools. You're teaching. You're a principal. And these are things that make us excited, because that's what we want our young people to do. I was a part of our school since the start, the very first day that Brother Hiles had called families together and told about the start of the Hammond Baptist Schools, and we all had choices we had to make to leave public school and to pay then to go to Christian school, cleaning out an old building in Gary, Indiana to make into a Christian school, and it was pretty big time for us. But we saw the very first youth conference. We've seen things grow, and we've seen pastors come, and we've seen pastors go, and we are excited about what this church has done or gets to do with young people. There's a lot about young people I don't know. I teach our youth ministry class at the college. Me and our youth directors, we all field the class. But one of the things I stress to the students is the things that you're dealing with, or that I'm dealing with, or Brother Judah's dealing with right now, or Brother Torres, are going to be different for you, because things get worse and worse as things go along. There are problems that I dealt with that those before me didn't have to, and there are things that Brother Judah is dealing with now that I didn't have to deal with, and so on it goes. But we still have the same God, we still have the same Bible, and the way that God works is still the same. And I believe with all my heart that God wants us to look through the eyes of experience, if I may. And again, this is not here bragging at all, but I have been here long enough to see how things work and what does work. You've seen the farmer's insurance commercial, And the car's in the swimming pool, and the man's standing there and says, "We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two." Well, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I've seen kids put cars in swimming pools. Almost. But we do know that not everything that we have done was a success, and not every activity was a great one. But the truth is, I know what those young people are, what they are today. Let me put it this way. What they are today as adults, those that were 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age that are now 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, and 70 years of age, I know why they are what they are today. And it boils down, if I were to put it and encapsulate it, into three things as to why they are what they are today. Why I am what I am today. Why the moms and dads who are out at Hammond Baptist or in the room right now who have young people out there, why, and you grew up here, why you are the way you are right now is because of three things. And it's not a why. It's a what, it's a who, and it's a where. It's a what, it's a who, and it's a where. The instruction that Paul was giving to young Timothy was great, and it's the admonition that he was giving, and the teaching was fantastic. But you know what? We give that same teaching to all of our young people. At graduation time, I was sitting back over here to my left a few years ago, and I got to thinking, the young people, teenagers, were sitting down here, and I said to myself, and I was talking to the Lord, I said, every one of those young people come from different homes and different lifestyles and different parentings and different rearings and so forth and different problems and different blessings, but all of them have heard the exact same thing for 12 years. They've heard the same teaching, the same instructors. They've heard, been through the same Sunday school classes, same departments, been to the same youth conferences and same youth revivals. They've heard those things, but many of them will go this way, some will go that way. And in 45 and 50 years, they'll all be somewhere. And the reason they will be where they will be one day is because of the three things that I just mentioned. The first is the what. The what? They will be what they are encouraged to become. Your young people, you yourself are today of, you are in a place, you are doing whatever for the Lord or not for the Lord, because somewhere down the road, somebody challenged you or something challenged you. Something got your focus. Something got your attention and something became very important to you. It was Daniel who, as a slave boy, and taken, saw his family killed and his friends and his city burned. He purposed in his heart what he was going to become. He got laser focused on what he was supposed to do and how he was supposed to live. And the focus, if, you know, our young people's focus is tonight on serving God, giving their heart to the Lord, that's what we're trying to get. But no doubt in my mind that some of those young people are going to get focused on sports. They're going to get focused on career. They're going to get focused on money. They're going to get focused on a car or something temporal. And it's going to change a trajectory in their life, and to where they're going to end up is not where they should end up. Then there are some that are going to go forward in the service, and they're going to refocus their life, and they're going to give their life to the Lord. Brother Judah told me of a young man last night, surrendered his life to preach, and I was so excited. And I believe now he is focused on doing that. And you know what? And if he makes it there, it'll be because of what he set his sights on. I think this world is so excellent, so good at putting things in our mind and in our path and in our vision and in our heart. And that's why Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. And as pastors preach many times, that word lust there is not the kind of word that you and I are thinking of right now as being sensual. It's talking about the things that we like, the things that appeal to us, the jobs that incite us and encourage us and are fun, that we think we would love to do, the kind of house we would want to live in, the kind of families we'd like to have, the area we'd like to live in. And Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Get those things out of your head. Focus on things that'll matter. Focus on your faith. Focus on things that are pure. Focus on things that are holy. And that's what our job as adults are. Sunday school teachers, that's our job. We're not the teacher. I love what Mr. Boyd used to say, is we're not here to teach young people how to make a living. We're teaching them how to live. And if we can get their lives focused on the what, on what God would want for them, not what I would like, not on where I want to live, not on what I want to do, it's what God wants for me. The second thing is the who. The one thing that'll change a young person from his course to a different course faster than anything else is the who. It's an influence. It's someone that has focused, changed their life. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, it says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And a young man that had a burning lust for his sister, knew in his heart it was wrong, and knew in his heart he should not defile her. He knew it was wrong, but he had a friend that encouraged him. He had a friend that incited him. He had a friend that helped influence him, and he raped his sister. And it caused so many problems in their household and so many problems in their future, all because he had a friend. And I've watched young people that have grown up in just phenomenal Christian homes and moms and dads with great love and care and thousands of dollars for Christian education and coaches that have given of their time and their talents to help instruct them, and teachers that have spent hours with them get sidetracked in a matter of days, ruin their life because of a friend. Of a friend. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be what? Wise. But a companion of a fool of fools shall be destroyed. Moms and dads, let me just challenge you here right now. You don't need to let your children make you go against your better judgment. And I watch young people browbeat their parents into things, into getting them things, and allowing them to go places. And God has given you a wisdom through experience, through the trials of life, through the Holy Spirit, to help you make decisions that guard and guide your children. There are some times my parents would let me go somewhere or stay at somebody's house, and then the very same parents, where I asked the very same thing, weeks later, my parents would say no. And as a teenager, I didn't understand that. Now, in our household, you never said, well, why? I'd have been eating through a straw for 6 months. But the truth is, that's what happens. They say, why? And you can't come up with a good answer. Can I tell you something? You don't have to come up with a good answer. You don't have to. God has given you authority over those young people, and it's your judgment that you feel something is wrong, something isn't right, this isn't a good time, and you know what? Listen to that. You have a lot more authority than your children think you have. And this world is doing its best to take it from you. You be careful of the influencers of your children. Someone once said, you show me your friends, I'll tell you your future. And that's very true. That's very true. But we need to be careful that our young people are around coaches and around teachers and around Sunday school teachers, people that will influence them and encourage them to do right. Ingrain in them the things that are that are noble and right and scriptural, so that they can learn to make proper choices based on biblical principles, not on wants and desires. Apostle Paul just didn't say, or Timothy didn't say, Paul didn't say to Timothy, just flee youthful lusts. He said, no, but I want you to look on things that are right and holy and honest. Told him, gave him things, guidelines that are right. And whatever else comes along that doesn't match to that or discourages right or discourages holiness, that's wrong. And flee from that. Stay away from that. You can either follow that and end up over here, or follow it, or end up over here. You'll be the same age as everybody else in your bracket, but some will be here, some will be there. Because of the choices they made, because of who they were with. I was talking today to Pastor Todd Pointer, and he had a vivid time in his high school days of a friend that was going a direction. God had called him to preach at a pastor's school one night. And it was a traumatic moment for him, it was a very confident decision, and I knew he meant it, and I knew he was sincere about it. But I still watched him struggle for about a year. And I asked him about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I said, you know, remember back in, we talked about the day and the time after he surrendered to preach. And I said, you made a drastic change about a year or so after that. And he said, I changed who I was running with. I said, what do you mean? He started naming a couple of men that he was friends with and he was spending a lot of time with and going to gyms with and so forth. And he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I saw that the direction they were going, and I realized if I would stay on that road, stay with them, I would stay on that road. And I realized that's not where I want to end up, nor was it where I should have ended up. And the one young man in particular is in heaven today, and Brother Pointer's pastoring a wonderful church in Greenwood, Indiana. You got to be careful of the who. You look at Korah, one man incited three other men who incited 250 men who got over 15, almost 20,000 people killed. It's very important who you listen to. Moms and dads, it's very important who you listen to. It's very important to the podcasts that you listen to. It's very important to the preachers that you listen to. It's very important to the books that you read, that your children read. If you don't, if something is wrong or something you don't care about a friend that they have, you know what? Put your foot down. Be methodical about it and be wise about it and be careful about it. But I'm telling you this, God has given you that right. There's a couple in Michigan tonight that will be spending 15 years in prison for crimes their son committed when they did not act on his odd behavior, and he killed 4 or 5 people in a school. Moms and dads, it's our responsibility to watch your young people. And I understand when they get old enough, these things can still hit them and they can still change their direction. But we need to, one, do everything that we possibly can to make sure who they're around and what they're focusing on is right and holy. And at least we ought to do is give them the opportunity to focus on the right things and to be around the right people. Eighth grade at a Bible camp, I had a friend, I won't give his name, but my camp counselor came to me, he says, Eddie, he says, I really think God's going to use you one day. I said, oh, great, that'd be nice. I really didn't understand what it meant. But he goes, I think you're going to get in trouble and get in a lot of trouble if you keep hanging around. And he called that boy's name. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit upset. And I thought, as an eighth grader, who does he think he is? He's not my dad. But it plagued me. It plagued me. That night in the service, God got a hold of my heart. I was a punk eighth grader, you know. I was smart-mouthed. I was just like every other eighth grader. But I remember God getting a hold of me, and I remember giving my heart and life to the Lord, and I immediately, the next day, changed friends. You say, well, how did that work? You know, listen, I don't know whatever really happened to him, but I know what happened to me. And you know, Sunday school teachers, you may have the heart of a young person in your class, and they may be going a different direction, and the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. And you, just a note of encouragement and a note of warning even, just a note out of love and compassion for them and say, hey, listen, I see you struggling a little bit. Is there anything that I can do? Can I help you? Can I help you in this way? I see who you're hanging with. I would be careful, and I know you don't want to take advice from me, but I'm not your dad, but I am somebody that loves you and prays for you. That may ruffle their feathers a little bit, and that may discourage them for the moment, but they're going to feel it. They're going to feel it. It's the what, it's the who, and three, it's the where. It's the where. One of the greatest illustrations in the Bible, as you all know and I know, is in 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. It says, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. So what happened to David while he tarried? Anybody remember? Bathsheba. Bathsheba. It was a time when king, what was David? A king. It was a time when they should have been at battle. I'm going to tell you something. The thing that I've seen are these three little things here. The what, the who, and the where. That's what decides why we become what we become. David had been out to battle, he would have never committed adultery with Bathsheba. He would have never murdered her husband. He would have never been judged by God. You listen to me and listen to me carefully. It's very important, not only you, but your young people and those in your household are in the right place where they're supposed to be. Our parents had a rule, you had to be in home at 10:30. Didn't matter what was going on, 10:30. 10:30. And my brothers and me and my younger brothers, we all put up fights, but we never won. 10:30. And the reason was there's nothing good after 10:30 going on. You look at what happens and look at people who get shot and get killed. You know what? It's after 10:30. You listen to me, please. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody. I'm not trying to criticize your parenting skills, but this world is doing its best to take our authority away from us. It's doing its best to discourage us from rearing our young people in the right kind of way, where Americans used to all believe this. God gave your young people to you to parent. And where they spend their time, where they spend their efforts today is very important. Our young people, every one of them ought to be out of Baptist City tonight. Tomorrow night, they ought to be out at Baptist City listening to preaching. Because I can name dozens of adults right now who have children in our youth group right now who made great decisions at that youth revival. And great decisions will be made, or being made right now, it'll be made tomorrow night. But your young people need to be here. They need to be in Sunday school. They need to be in church. They need to be in Wednesday night church. Their where is important. The places that influence and direct one to the right, on the right course, the right ways of life. The what, the who, and the where. Any one or all three can change a direction or a person for the good or for the bad. Watching these three things may help you not to ask why one day. Our lives can be filled with baskets full of sour grapes, or filled with the fruit of the Spirit, full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. But it's going to be on what we focused on, or maybe who influenced us, or where we spent our time. Moms and dads, it's our job to watch over that. I think we need to make sure that we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to protect our kids, to make sure that the proper influences are around them at all times. Keep our kids away from their, watch what they're doing on their cell phones. There's not a kid in this world needs a smartphone. And if your kid has one, that's fine. It's up to you. That's your parenting. But you're putting pornography in their path. You've all but opened a magazine, and you're allowing an influence on them that they're not ready for yet. And I realize that when they grow up, they can do what they want, and a lot of our kids did. But the truth is, our responsibility is to set them on the right course, is to make sure they're focused on the right thing. They're going the right direction. And they're around the right people, the right influences. Moms and dads, I think we've tried our best to make our kids learn, get our kids to believe in them, and I get that. But the world teaches us to trust our kids. That is so unbiblical. We're to teach our kids to trust us. And we ought to be trustworthy. We ought to be the leaders. We ought to be the ones that go to church because we like it. We ought to be the ones that get excited about serving the Lord, get excited about tithing, get excited about soul winning. Be honest with our young people. Be a good example so that they can trust in us, so that when we say, hey, you know what, that girl you're dating, you know, I just, something wrong about her. Really, Dad? You know, you really think, I think so. I think you'd be better off taking a pass on this one. Okay, Dad. Because he trusts you. He trusts you. But we've spent our lives, and I'm not putting anybody down. We've all done it. We want to show our kids we love them by trusting in them. And I understand we allow them some liberties. But we can't trust them until they have first trusted us and given us confidence.